live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, as always, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a jam-action show for you coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern time today. In studio, Colts running back Trey Sermon, who also played his college ball at Oklahoma and Ohio State. He did spend a year with Jalen Hurts in college at Oklahoma, and then also was on the Eagles team that got to the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 57. So we will chat it up with him in studio at the top of the hour. Ryan Hot Take Hickey, he knows he's going to join us in studio coming up today at 5 p.m. Eastern time, 2 p.m. Pacific. But I got to start off today's show with Travis Kelce. And I'm very confused, because last year, I remember saying in the middle of the football season that I thought last season was the final season of Jason Kelce's career. And then I added on that I don't think that Travis Kelce is that far behind him when it comes to retirement. Now, for some of this season, I thought it could be the last hurrah for Travis Kelce. But as the year did go on, and when you got to the Super Bowl, and you were at opening night, media night, where that's going to be a storyline, this is what Travis Kelce said about his future. This was at opening night, media night last week, where he was talking about the, you know, for what the next 3 years has in store.
Where will I be in 3 years? Oh, man, I don't know. Hopefully still playing football. I love doing this. I love coming into work every day. And, you know, I feel like I still got a lot of good football left in me, but we'll see what happens. I know I've been setting myself up for other opportunities in my life, and that's always been the goal, knowing that football only lasts for so long. But for the most part, I plan on being a Kansas City Chief and playing football.
So you hear that, and he gets asked a very specific question: what do you see yourself doing in 3 years? And it's still playing football, hopefully. Now, it wasn't as if the reporter said, hey, Travis, is this it for you? Is this going to be your final game? Because if you ask that direct of a question, I don't expect that transparent of an answer. You know, in that spot, he could say, hey, I'm just focused on the game. We'll see what happens afterwards. And that's very vague. But since he went out of his way to say, hey, 3 years from now, I still hope I'm playing, that sounds a lot different than what we've heard from Travis Kelce in the past. So when I heard that in the moment, I thought to myself, okay, this isn't going to be Travis Kelce's final game on, at the time, what was going to be on Sunday. But I remember also saying, I wonder if that's his way to kind of nip all the speculation about retirement in the bud and not make it a storyline the rest of the week. Because what you just heard last week sounded very different on the latest episode of New Heights that came out today. And this is Travis Kelce on his future.
It's going to sting. I know everybody wants to know whether or not I'm playing next year. And right now I'm just kicking everything down the road. I'm kicking every can I can down the road, and I'm not making any crazy decisions. There's a lot that goes into this thing. You know, I've been fortunate over the past 5-6 years. I've played more football than anybody.
Yeah.
And it's because the people that are in that building, the fact that we keep going to these AFC championships and these Super Bowls, and that means I'm playing an extra 3 games more than everybody else in the entire league. And that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. And it's a lot of time spent in the building. That process can be grueling. It can weigh on you. It can make you better, and it can drive you crazy at the same time. And right now, it's one of those things where it was kind of driving me crazy this year. It happens as you kind of tail off towards the back nine of your career, as the SVP would say, is as you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have. Man, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then on top of that, to not be there in the biggest moments, knowing your team's counting on you, man, it's just a tough reality. You know, I think I'm going to take some time to figure it out. And I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be something that it's a wholehearted decision. And I'm not half-assing it. And I'm fully here for them. And I think I can play. It's just whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
I usually don't like to tell people when they should retire. But once you have 1 foot in, 1 foot out, it seems like it's time to go. That's just the way that I feel with this situation. And I understand there's raw emotion here. And you could be very upset in the few days after losing a Super Bowl, even though Kansas City has won a ton of them. But that pain is still real. That pain is still authentic. And people right away want to know, when you get up there in age like Travis Kelce is, being 35 years old, and he'll be 36, during next football season, people start to say, well, what are you going to do? And his off-the-field life is already set. Like, he doesn't have to work, but he'll be a media star. He does that New Heights podcast right now. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he is in a long-term relationship now with one of the most famous people on this planet. So anything Travis Kelce does post-football, he doesn't need to do it, but guys still need to do something once they walk away from the game. It's going to work out more than fine, and there are other opportunities out there. And for Travis Kelce, you look at what he was able to do from 2016 to 2022. He had at least 1,000 yards receiving at the tight end position every year. And then in 2023, he started to drop off with only 984 receiving yards. That's him dropping off. You know, most tight ends can't even get that in two seasons, if we're being honest. He's able to do that still in one season towards the end of his career. The difference, though, from last year to this year is last year in the postseason, he popped off. You look at his postseason last year, he had 32 receptions, 355 yards, 3 touchdowns, and won a championship. 71 yards against the Dolphins, 75 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Bills, 116 yards in the AFC Championship up against the Ravens with a touchdown, and then in the Super Bowl up against the Niners, 9 catches, 93 yards in that one and won another championship. This year, he didn't pop off in the regular season. He even got worse than what he was from the year before. And I know he had more catches, but he had fewer yards, went from 984 yards last year to this year, 823, and only had 3 receiving touchdowns in the regular season. So that's not at his standard. But I remember saying, hey, just wait to see what he does in the postseason, because at Travis Kelce's career, you don't need him to be dynamite in the regular season. You need him to be dynamite come postseason time. And in the postseason, this is where it's concerning, because up against the Texans, he was awesome. 7 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. You thought this was vintage Travis Kelce, right? And this is what it's just going to be at his stage of his career. He'll be good. He'll be fine. He'll be more than competent in the regular season, but he won't be his great all-pro self when you look at the numbers on what he's used to. But in the postseason, like he did last year, he'll pop off. And that's what we thought we were getting after that Texans game to open up the AFC division round for him. But since that, against the Buffalo Bills, he had 2 catches for 19 yards. And up against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, where he looked old, slow. You know, there's one clip that's going viral. He's barely moving. And his blocking, I know he's not the greatest blocker in the world, but he's not as bad as what people think he is. His blocking was horrible in the Super Bowl. He had 4 catches for 39 yards. So think about that. From where you were from the Texans game to the last two. And I think the last two is, Travis Kelce now getting in his head, saying, am I at that level anymore? Because sometimes guys retire too early. Other times, guys retire too late, and sometimes you just retire at the right time. And yes, in an ideal world, you want to win the Super Bowl and walk off the field, but not everybody could do that. So for Travis Kelce, I don't think anything would surprise me. And still, you know, you look back, he still had the 12th most catches in football this year, and that's him falling off. So he could be his biggest critic. He could be his toughest critic. But when you're used to a standard of greatness and you're not meeting that individually, I do think, like what we saw the last two games, it kind of humbles you and makes you reevaluate it. So if Travis Kelce comes back and he says, hey, in 3 weeks, hey, I cooled down, I'm coming back, that wouldn't surprise me. But if this is the end of the road, it wouldn't shock me either, because there are those conflicting thoughts there. And you just heard it in the span of a week. From Monday to opening night, hey, I'm playing for, you know, hopefully playing for at least 3 more years. You know, I don't want to retire anytime soon. I love this, to now, a lot of wear and tear in the body. I played more games than anybody. If I return, I got to be able to give it my all and feel like I'm at 100%, you know, and I got to be mentally in it. This is going to be a tough decision. And I don't think Travis Kelce's like taking a page out of Jerry Jones's playbook and goes, oh, let me just do all the drama and let me just kind of tease this. You know, like LeBron, for example. LeBron has teased retirement to try to avoid some criticism from previous postseasons. And everyone just rolls their eyes and knows it's kind of lame and pathetic when LeBron has done that the last few years. Right? Aaron Rodgers has kind of done it as well. And we've seen, right, those that happen for certain reasons. I don't think there's a certain reason here for Travis Kelce. I don't think he's trying to pull one over us. I just legitimately think he does not know. And that's fine if you don't know. But in terms of what we do, we got to give a yes or a no. Right? We got to give a prediction. Stu, I know that we talked about this on Monday, but I think after hearing that Travis Kelce audio, it could change some opinions. So yes or no, and why? Do you think Travis Kelce is going to be back next season for one more go at it?
I think he will not be back after hearing that conversation this morning. I think he
And hold on, earlier in the week you thought he was coming back, right?
I did, but okay. After hearing that, that sounded to me like somebody who was just, like, they know it's time to go, but they're afraid to admit it almost. So I think this is it. I think he's going to retire.
Santer, you think Travis Kelce coming on back?
He's coming back.
Why?
He's an emotional guy, right? He sounded emotional before the game, after the game. He's emotional right now, and this is why you need to take time after a bad loss like this where he had a bad game, and right now he feels like he's to blame for them losing and not getting the three-peat because he played so poorly the past couple games. But like you said, he was still an elite-level receiver in the NFL this year. He was still one of the best tight ends in the NFL this year. He might not be the best of the best anymore, but he's still more than adequate. And if you want to help this Chiefs team create and continue this dynasty, I think he'll be back for at least another year or two.
I don't think there's any reason for him to come back. Now, I'm not saying he won't, but I could see why you wanted to come back this year. You were chasing NFL history. You know, if he goes out there and wins another ring, does it really matter if you have three rings compared to four? But really, when it comes down to rings, we only really hold the ring conversation in the NFL to quarterbacks and head coaches. So I don't know why, outside of just enjoyment and loving that team and loving that city and loving football, there's nothing else for him left to accomplish. Like, if you just pull up his Wikipedia page, and I know Wikipedia is not always the most reliable source, he's a three-time Super Bowl champion, a four-time first-team All-Pro, three-time second-team All-Pro. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler. He's on the All-Decades team in 2010, you know, for the 2010s. What else is there accomplished? There's nothing. So, yes, I think life could actually be easier for him if he does walk away now. He's given everything that he's could to this game. He's been a sensational player. He's easily a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a megastar on the field. He's a megastar off the field. And when you play like that, you know what a lot of players feel? And sometimes guys hold on way too long because they're delusional. They still think they're great and they're not. But there's nothing worse than seeing an old fighter, right, on the field where he's still good, but he's not that great. And then there's just a certain year where that old fighter thinks, okay, I'm still good, but I know I'm not as great. And then you're getting in your own head, and then you get knocked out. Like, this was the Chiefs' knockout punch. Now, they could get back to the Super Bowl, win another Super Bowl, right? I'm not saying that their dynasty is over. But I'm sure for Travis Kelce, he's feeling that, where he knows he's still good. He knows he's not as great as what he once was. And there could be some apprehension here of, hey, if I go back next year, is my body going to get holed up? You know, am I going to go from being, you know, I've already went from being great to good, am I then going to be good to average? And some guys just can't deal with that humiliation, even though I don't think any of us would look at Travis Kelce differently if he's only able to put up like 600 yards next year and only gets two touchdowns and then the Chiefs lose in the AFC Championship game. His legacy is already cemented, but I think it's wishy-washy here. And the more I look back at it, maybe what happened earlier last week was him just trying to push off the conversation. But after hearing that emotion, I think this is as true as 50-50 could be. I really do. I think there's 50% chance he comes back, 50% chance that he retires. But still, even though I think he should go, and I could go back and forth on this and vacillate through the entirety of the show, I am with Santer that I'm not in terms of the emotion part of it, but just, hey, I think that he could come back for one more season. And I think he will come back for one more season. And then maybe he goes on a little retirement tour. Maybe he does that as well. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Do you think that's the last game that we saw of Travis Kelce? 855-212-4227. When we come on back, Dak Prescott finally became Jerry Jones' quarterback. I'll tell you what I mean by that when we return after these short messages.
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned and they deserved it by all means. But, yeah, very close. Especially even watch the NFC game, the NFC championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And, as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see them, to see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
The biggest mistake you could do if you're in a division of a team that wins a championship is think just because you played them close in divisional games means that you're on their level, even if you beat them. Because divisional games are always tough. Divisional games, you could always see an upset. Like, Stu, for example, one that sticks out to me. The Raiders last year. Remember, it was Christmas Day where the Raiders beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Imagine if when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year, I was going to say Aiden O'Connell, let's go Max Crosby. If Max Crosby came out and said, hey, you know, we beat the Chiefs, so therefore we're really close. We're very close to doing what the Kansas City Chiefs can accomplish. The Dallas Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since the 1995 season. They haven't been back to an NFC championship game since the 1995 season. So on what planet, outside of Dak just thinking because he's the leader of the team that he has to kind of say we're close to winning a championship and try to inspire confidence on his team, but outside of that, in what world does Dak Prescott actually seriously believe that that team is close to winning a championship? Like if Dak was sitting to the right of me and we kind of shot him up with truth serum, on what planet would he tell a truth and it would not be a lie when I said, are the Cowboys close to winning a Super Bowl? And he said yes. And the lie detecting services would say, yeah, that's a true statement what Dak Prescott said. The Cowboys are nowhere close to winning a Super Bowl. Dak Prescott is a very good quarterback. CeeDee Lamb is a top five wide receiver in football. Micah Parsons is a top five pass rusher in football. But on no planet are the Dallas Cowboys anywhere close to making a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl, or even going to an NFC championship game. You just had the three past years prior to this one, 12 wins, 12 wins, 12 wins. The farthest that team did go was to the divisional round of the playoffs when, let's be real, Dak Prescott in that game up against the Niners was absolutely horrible when his defense did a spectacular and a magnificent job in that game. But that's really Dak Prescott becoming Jerry Jones's quarterback. Because you know what Jerry Jones did last night? He heard that clip. He called up Dak, and he probably said, hey, if you would have just said that last year, we wouldn't have made you wait until the opening game of the season to get the contract extension. Because that falls into the Cowboy way of just saying ludicrous things, saying ridiculous things, saying zany things that puts your team in the news when they have no business of being in the news. Like the Philadelphia Eagles just won a Super Bowl. I get it. You're at an event. You're going to get asked about it. But for him to say that they're actually close, you didn't even make the playoffs last year. And even when you make the playoffs, you either tap out in the wild card round or the divisional round. So to say that you're close to being on the Eagles level, that means you have to get to an NFC championship game, win the NFC championship game, then get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. You weren't even in the postseason last year, and when you do get into the postseason, there is usually an embarrassing finish. It was an embarrassing finish in the wild card round up against the Niners when, by the way, you were home. It was an embarrassing finish in the wild card round last year up against the Green Bay Packers while you were at home. And even when you beat the lowly Buccaneers, right, who were 8-9. That was your bye to the divisional round, and you got into the divisional round, your defense played their ass off, and then the offense couldn't do anything. And I get it, Tony Pollard got hurt in the game, but great quarterbacks need to elevate that team in that spot. So you're not close to doing anything. You're not close in the same level that the Eagles are. And don't tell me, oh, well, we play them well in the regular season, you know, when we usually play them. That doesn't mean anything. On one Sunday, you could go find a way, or on a Thursday, you know, Monday, whenever you play it, you could go find a way to take care of business up against the Philadelphia Eagles. You can. And I get it this year, right? It's not the Cowboy team that we thought it was going to be. But that Cowboys team, and I know it was with Cooper Rush, you know, you lost 34-6. And then you played them again and you lost 41-7. So let's take it in a year where Dak Prescott was actually playing. Even so, last year, it was 28-23 on November 5th, where the Eagles beat you. And then later on in that season, all right, the Eagles lost 33-13. All right, so you got a victory. But later on that year, were you able to take advantage of it? No. You went home in the wild card round just like the Eagles. The year later, the Eagles go and win the Super Bowl, and you guys couldn't even make the postseason. But I'll ask this simple question right now. If you take the Chiefs out of it, and if you also take the Eagles out of it, because the Chiefs have consistently got there right. They've been in 5 Super Bowls recently. They've won 3. They lost 2. And the Eagles, since Super Bowl 52, right, they got there to 52. They got there in 57. They got there in 59. They've won 2 Super Bowls, 52 and 59. So Philadelphia is now the standard of the NFC. The Chiefs are the standard of the AFC. Those are the two immovable forces. And you got a lot of teams that are circling, and they're trying to pounce. But who is the team outside of Kansas City and Philadelphia that's closest to winning a Super Bowl? And I actually think it's the Buffalo Bills. I do. I know that they didn't have their Indianapolis Colt moment in 2006 this year, but they remind me a lot like the Colts, where you have a statistically great quarterback. Now, he doesn't have Marvin Harrison. He doesn't have Reggie Wayne, to be clear. They get better pieces around him. But James Cook is a solid running back. You got a good offensive line led by Deion Dawkins. And defensively, they've been up and down, but there are stretches where that defense does get hot. And Sean McDermott is a good coach. He's not a great coach. But that Bills team, it's not as if when they go up against the Chiefs in the postseason, they fail to show up. No, they play these really close and really fun and really good games. So I think the Buffalo Bills, if you take Kansas City and Philadelphia out of it, of all the other teams in the NFL, so the other 30 teams in the NFL, they're closest to winning a Super Bowl. And I think they had the second-best quarterback in the NFL. Mahomes is one. And then you have Josh Allen, two. If you make one more or two more big moves, you go get Myles Garrett. That could close the gap. That could go be the difference that gets you to the top of the mountain. But even if you don't get Myles Garrett, right, you get someone who's a good defensive player in free agency, and then maybe you use those resources that you would have spent on Myles to get a difference maker at the wide receiver position. You know, could you go get T. Higgins? Could you go get Deebo Samuel? Could you go get in a trade maybe Cooper Kupp? So I think the Bills are right there, and I think they're the closest to winning a Super Bowl if I had to pick a team that's not named the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Stu, who do you end up going with here?
I will go with the Detroit Lions. I just think that looking at their path in the NFC, I think it's, one, it's an easier path because you don't have the Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, Ravens, all those teams. And two, I know there's questions about the quarterback and losing the 2 coordinators, but man, that team's just really good. And if they're healthy, they weren't really healthy towards the end of the year. I just think they have enough skilled players on both sides of the ball that they could beat the Eagles, and then they could be the ones that win the Super Bowl next year.
If you look at the way that we talk about the Lions right now, it's similar to how we talk about the Eagles at the end of last season. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the 10-1 collapse because the Lions didn't. They were, they finished the year 15-2, I think it was, and then they lost in the opening round to the playoffs. But you look at the Eagles and the Lions, and you see where we were looking at the Eagles last year. On offense, they have a good offensive line, one of the best in the league. Lions, right now, one of the best offensive lines in the league as well. You know, at the time, the Eagles didn't have Saquon Barkley, but the Lions right now have Jahmyr Gibbs. The quarterback, a lot of people said, hey, Jalen Hurts is very good, not great. He proved this year he could be great. Jared Goff right now, a lot of people say very good. Can he be great? You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, phenomenal wide receiver. You pair him up with Sam Laporta at the tight end. You got a nice little 1-2 punch right there, just like the Eagles have a 1-2 punch. I know not tight ends, but it's A.J. Brown and it's Devontae Smith. And on defense, the Eagles' defense, they had the talent, but this Eagles' defense made the right draft picks in Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. They got even better in terms of the talent that they brought in. They brought in a new defensive coordinator, and they went from a bottom defense in the league and an insufferable defense in the league to a top defense in the league. And maybe with all these injuries the Lions suffered, with those guys coming on back, maybe they could take that next step next year as well. So I think that's a good one there, Stu, with the Lions. And I think with those comparisons, I see a little bit, especially with the coach that has an effort mentality like Sirianni does and Dan Campbell, and a respected GM. I know Howie Rosen's best GM in the sport, but Brad Holmes, a respected GM as well. There are some similarities between both those teams. So I end up taking the Bills. Stu ends up taking the Detroit Lions. Santer, if it can't be Kansas City or the Eagles, who's the team that's close to winning a Super Bowl?
I'll go with the Ravens.
Really? Why do you go with the Baltimore Ravens?
I still think Lamar Jackson, outside of Patrick Mahomes, is the best quarterback in the NFL. He should have won his third MVP. Derrick Henry is not slowing down. The defense is good. They've had some injuries and everything like that, but it just feels like them and Buffalo are right neck and neck. So it feels like it could be either one of them, and if it's not going to be the Bills, I have faith in Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Yeah, the only tough part for the Ravens for me, and don't get me wrong, I love Lamar Jackson, but they have to now slay two demons, right? The Bills only have to slay one demon, if you think about it. Because I think most of us view the three best teams in the AFC in this order, the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. I look at the Ravens, they lost to the Bills in the postseason for a second time. So they can't beat Buffalo in the postseason. Even if you get through Buffalo, then will be enough to take down Kansas City as well. So I think it's a tougher road, actually, for the Baltimore Ravens when I take a glance and I look at it like that. I'm actually surprised that no one said the Niners. And I get it right now, the Niners stock or the Bengals, right? Two teams that missed the postseason. Niners have been to two Super Bowls where they've lost to the Chiefs twice, and the Bengals got to a Super Bowl, and then they ended up losing to the LA Rams. But I look at those rosters, especially the Niners. The Niners, if they're just healthy, they can get right back there next year. And then Cincinnati, I think a lot of us, it's okay that defense has a lot of work to do. It's not really as T. Higgins going to be back, but it's that defense has a lot of work to do. I thought the Niners actually would have been one of the teams that were selected on this list, but hey, you ask a question and you got to respect the answers that are given on out there. All righty, Kendrick Lamar. I ended up watching it, obviously, in the stadium. I didn't think it was good. I watched it late last night because I know that the halftime show is not made for people like me in the stadium. It's made for people that are home having their buffalo chicken dip, their nachos, their wings with blue cheese, all that stuff. I watched it last night, and I thought it was still horrible. So who should do the halftime show next year? I'll get to that on the other side. And also why the halftime show is actually a win for Drake, if you could just ignore one big allegation. But I thought it was a win for Drake. But still, let me ask you this, because I know I always like to have fun to hear what you're eating. What did you end up doing for the Super Bowl? What did you end up eating?
So we went to the apartment of my girlfriend's sister's boyfriend, who is
an Eagle fan, right?
Big Eagles fan. We made a Philly cheesesteak pizza.
Oh!
And he made some sausage and peppers, and we had a bunch of chips and dips and all that kind of stuff.
You know, I've never been prouder than you. What kind of chips and dips now?
Just kind of like...
Guacamole?
Yeah, we had guac, we had some buffalo chicken dip, we had some salsa, I think we had some cheese as well. We also had a charcuterie board, so we had pretty much everything.
Now, I can't eat the guacamole.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
It's weird. When it comes to mushrooms and guacamole, if I have... the chat's going to love this. If I have any mushrooms, I'm down for the count, and I'm sick. For guacamole, I could have like a scoop, like the smallest scoop in the world of guacamole, but anything after that, down for the count, sick. But that's a pretty good... A cheesesteak pizza?
Yeah. We have
That's funky.
Yeah, we wanted to do something Philly themed because the whole playoffs, every time we've watched every Eagles game there, so we didn't want to break up the juju of the
I like that.
The Eagles winning.
No, like I would rather just have a cheesesteak, but
yeah, we did that.
Cheesesteak pizza sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good. We did that for one of the games, so we just wanted to change it up a little. We did. We also did Philly cheesesteak wontons, I believe, when they played the Commanders.
Oh, now we're talking. Those were good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had some Philly cheesesteak egg rolls in the past, too. Delicious. Actually, when I was a pledge in my fraternity, like your big brother in the fraternity, and let's just say there was a night where you got really hazed, all right, if we're just being honest, that your big brother fraternity is supposed to get you something, like to eat, you know, and give you like a little break, a 20-minute break or something like that. So my big in my fraternity, my big brother, he got me cheesesteak egg rolls. One problem, though, he didn't know that I couldn't digest mushrooms. Like, I don't go to the hospital, but there were mushrooms in the Philly cheesesteak egg rolls, and as I was getting hazed, I was not feeling well, and I started throwing up. So it actually got me out of the whole thing because I was really sick. So I thank him for it in the moment, but also it wasn't fun that I had a little bit of a stomach issue there in college. Anyway, we'll talk about the halftime show next. Who should do the halftime show next year? And this is Zach Gelb showing the Infinity Sports Network. Trey Sermon going to join us in studio, Colts running back. Coming up in 20 minutes, he played college football with Jalen Hurts. Also spent the year with the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. We'll get his thoughts on the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. And I don't know how we book this guest every week, but Ryan Hot Take Hickey, he's going to join us in studio at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Update time first. Here's Zach. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think accusing somebody of being a pedophile could be the worst thing that you could get accused of. So that's basically what Kendrick has accused Drake of being. So obviously that's already been done by Kendrick, and you've heard it in the song Not Like Us, and you knew that that was going to be the main course song for Kendrick at the Super Bowl. So I know it's tough to say, if you could just get past what Kendrick is saying about Drake, because it's so tough to get past that. But when you basically spend the 12 to 15 minutes that you have of your moment at the Super Bowl halftime show, basically teasing that song, I kind of think it's a win for Drake, where Drake wasn't even performing at the Super Bowl. And basically, Kendrick's entire act was just trying to diss on Drake. And I get it, right? He has Serena Williams there. He used to date Drake. And you also had the Game Over stuff, which I didn't see in the stadium. But when I watched it back on YouTube, it's not as if afterwards when I saw Game Over, I'm like, oh, Kendrick won. And for a while, I thought Kendrick was winning, because everyone kind of united over that song, Not Like Us. And it wasn't a good look for Drake. But at the Super Bowl, I thought Kendrick, who was already winning and already had the upper hand, just kind of blew the opportunity. And the show wasn't good. And I like Kendrick's music, too. It's not all, that's not my type of genre of music. No, I like Kendrick's music. But you never know how rap plays live. Like, I'll never forget, growing up, when I was in high school, Wiz Khalifa was like a huge deal. And when I was a freshman at college, when you have one of those welcome concerts at college, they had Wiz Khalifa at the Leah Kors Center at Temple University. And I was so jacked up to see him. And I left the concert and I go, that sucked. And I've seen some really good performances, rap concerts in person. You know, I've seen Jay-Z. I've seen Kanye West, which, by the way, F Kanye, by the way. I didn't know this because, once again, I'm at the game. So he did, what was it, a commercial from like the dentist chair or something that he was recording to go visit his website. And that anti-Semite, because that's what Kanye West is. And his family tried to tell him not to do this. He then had a swastika shirt on his website to get everyone to go and, you know, try to buy those shirts on his website. How the NFL, you know, I'm actually pissed at the NFL. I know you can say, well, how do they know that this was happening? And I, if I'm wrong on this process, whatever. But if you're taking money from Kanye West, you're a dope. Like, I understand the spot is so expensive, and I don't know who pays for it. If it's I'm not sure if some other company paid for it. I don't know. So if I'm wrong on that, I'm wrong on that. But I'm annoyed by this. As a Jewish man, I'm really annoyed by this. But how there's not more outrage about this, it's ridiculous. And Kanye West, he's an a-hole. All right? He's just a flat-out a-hole. And this is someone that really likes his music, right? You know, I have Yeezys, right? I've seen his concerts. I've spent my own money to go watch him. But that's just a bad dude. He's a jerk. He's a loser. He's an anti-Semite. And he's, once again, an a-hole. You go take a Super Bowl ad to be an anti-Semite, get people to go to your website, And then you're selling a swastika t-shirt? That's what we're doing? I always say this. Anytime someone defends Adolf Hitler or associates themselves with Adolf Hitler, you're the scum of the earth. So how that happened was just absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. Stupid. And if you're justifying what Kanye West did, you're an anti-Semite and you're also an a-hole. All right? I had to get that out of my system. But now, going back to Kendrick. I didn't think the show was good. I did not. I did not think that. I knew because I didn't see that when I was at the game. And then I saw it afterwards. I'm like, oh, that can't be. I'm like, oh, if it's Kanye, it's definitely going to be real. And I knew eventually there was going to be a moment this week where I was going to sound off on that. I didn't think it was going to happen. I'm talking about, oh, sometimes when you see rap live, it's not that great. But geez, it was, that show was just not good. It just wasn't. And I get the halftime show is not made for the people of the stadium, but I watch it back on television. I didn't think it was good either. So for next year, Super Bowl's in San Francisco. Let me just ask this question. Who should do the halftime performance? I think Jay-Z's in charge of all that stuff. And I love Jay-Z. But I would say right now, if I had to pick one person, I was between two people. You know, one group and then a performer. Like one solo artist. And I'm going to go with the solo artist. I go Post Malone. I got a chance, thanks to the folks at Bud Light, to see Post Malone on Thursday night, I think it was. No. It wasn't Thursday. Friday night. He was awesome. He was great. And I think he could do the Super Bowl right and give us a great halftime show. So I'll go Post Malone. How about you, Stu? What are you going with, Stewie?
Who do you think I'm going with?
Kanye? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I know who you're going to go with.
Yeah,
I'm
going with Taylor Swift.
Can they get her, though?
So, a lot of the rumor has been that she wanted to finish up her concerts and her the remake of all of her albums, her version of all her albums, and she's almost done with those. I think she has like two or three more.
Can I give a hot take, though?
Sure.
After she got booed,
I know.
Though,
I was thinking the same thing. She might get booed off the stage, or they might boo the whole time, especially if it's a bunch of Philly fans next year.
Is she, like, the Phillies fans booed her, because, right?
Yeah.
It's Travis Kelce. That's who she's, it's ridiculous that she got booed. But I thought that was, like, a fun booing from the Philly fans. It's almost like, if the Philly fans don't boo you, then that's a problem. So, I kind of enjoyed, I thought the booing was a little weird, but I also thought it was
yeah,
funny.
It was funny.
I thought her reaction was great.
It was funny too, yeah.
Where she's like, wait, they're booed. Well, I never get booed.
She played into it a little. I think she'd be good, and I just think like she's so much of a star where, okay, maybe the average football fan isn't a Taylor Swift fan. I get that, but I think she's such a big star that she should do one Super Bowl show at some point.
100%. And that would be the biggest star you could get right now, and there's no way she would give a bad performance. Like, you could hate Taylor Swift, and even you could respect that musical talent. David Immerman, by the way, who's the guitar player for Avril Lavigne, is listening to us right now. And actually, we saw David in New Orleans. We invited him down the Radio Row to come watch a show. He came by, and we were hanging out for a little bit. Love David. He's great. He said, selfishly, I vote Avril Lavigne for halftime show. 100%. And let me tell you something, David. If David's in the halftime show with Avril Lavigne, I want to be one of those dopey fans that are running around on stage going nuts. And fanboying out there. Avril Lavigne would be fun. Santa, who's yours?
See, I actually was going to kind of go with David and Avril with sort of my pick.
You know what we call that? That's a suck-up spot. Mike wants tickets to the concert.
I mean, listen, he was a nice guy. I've liked Avril Lavigne as a band, not just as a person for a long time. But we kind of got like the throwback 90s hip-hop thing a couple years ago.
Was great.
How about we get like Green Day, Metallica, Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, right? Get some of like the big 90s bands, Weezer, Avril, No Doubt. Get like four or five of the best bands from the 90s.
Much,
get them
though.
All together. Hey, we had it the other day. We had Dre. We had,
sure,
we had Eminem. We had Snoop. So why can't we do it with bands? Right?
Yeah,
we had Kendrick
tougher.
Lamar.
I think it's tougher when you do it with bands. Now, I will say this. I was think the other group I was talking about, especially with it being on the West Coast, is Green Day. I think Green Day would be phenomenal. So, Stu, I like your idea of Taylor Swift. I just didn't ever think it was realistic, even for the NFL. So if you get Taylor Swift, you definitely do that. But if not Taylor Swift, then I would go Post Malone and then also Green Day for this upcoming Super Bowl halftime show. I know I only got 45 seconds. Anthony in Myrtle Beach, tell me why you like the Kendrick Lamar concert at the halftime show real quickly.
Dude, he killed Drake. I don't even know why you say Drake won. There was so many hidden messages. He destroyed Drake and his Sony record label during that 13 minutes and put on a questionable show. And as far as Avril Lavigne and Green Day, no.
So who would you want?
No. West Coast. Go old school. Get Too Short. Get some of them West Coast, Oakland, San Francisco rappers out there.
Well, Anthony, we appreciate the phone call. That's my point, though. He basically spent his entire halftime show going after Drake, and I think for most people, didn't really register. Like, obviously, like, you have this beef with Drake. We know that. It was all about the buildup to Not Like Us. I just didn't think it was a wonderful performance. I'd actually, and outside of being called a pedophile, I'd be flattered if I was Drake, that you spent your entire halftime show talking about me. All righty. We're coming on back. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network.